Hi, welcome to Bite Size Bible. I'm Laura Bentley, and I am with
Faith Kemmler.
And we are both members of the staff at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And this week, we're talking about the Bible and worship. And so we're going to kind of pull back the curtain on how we use scripture in worship to kind of shape the planning of a Sunday morning service, and just also some of the maybe surprising ways that the Bible weaves its way into other aspects of worship that you might not expect. So I'm going to start by asking Faith to sort of talk about where we start with planning worship and how scripture is the central part of that.
So when we're planning worship and looking at worship, worship starts with scripture. That is the central part of it, and the whole service revolves around scripture. But how do we choose it, and where does it come from? It's actually not random. It's not just a, here's what I'm thinking and feeling. We tend to follow something called the Revised Common Lectionary. And essentially, the lectionary is predetermined scriptures that fall in line with the church year. And so because they fall in line with the church year, and because they tend to be in like some sort of order with each other, they also have themes often that are able to be pulled from them. And so we can do a series in worship with a theme, but it is the scripture from the lectionary. And when we choose that scripture from the lectionary, and then that scripture is the start of what becomes the rest of the service.
Yeah. So rest of the service, minus the music, but the other words in the service, we typically call the liturgy. So you maybe have heard this word, especially there are some folks in our congregation that we have invited or have volunteered to be lay liturgists. And those are the people saying the other words that are not typically like the sermon or the songs. And so liturgy, the literal meaning of it is the work of the people. And so these are the words that together we are weaving together to praise God, to petition God, to express gratitude to God. And so things like the call to worship, our confession, the prayers of the people, the offertory, the invitation for that, and the prayer of it. I guess the benediction would be part of that too. And we have often a sung response to the benediction. All of those pieces, and I'm sure I'm forgetting things, those are the words that together we pull to express our praise and worship to God. And so those words oftentimes don't look like they are coming directly from scripture because we're not pulling out a Bible and reading it. But usually it's either coming out of what will be read as part of the sermon and the themes and things like that that Faith was talking about that we're trying to weave together, or we'll pull it from different places throughout the Bible. So when we come to the assurance of forgiveness, which is after we pray a confession together, we are reminded that God has already forgiven us and already walks with us in grace. And we might pull something from this past week. I pulled from Romans in order to talk about that nothing separates us from the love of Christ. And so like, there are these things that are allusions to different scriptures throughout the whole of our worship together. And oftentimes it's not just coming from the person in the front, but the response from the people that are in the pews. And so we're kind of saying these words of scripture together, sometimes without realizing it. The Lord's Prayer is a really good example of that. It is pulled directly from the Gospels, and we say that together every week. So do you want to tell them about the parts of the service? Because I think that kind of goes with it.
Yeah. So the service really is divided into four parts. And the parts are as follows. We gather together. We listen for the word. We offer our gratitude. We go out to serve. And so we gather together. That's the beginning of the service. We've got the call to worship. We begin with a hymn. We share the peace of Christ, all of those things. And in that opening liturgy is where we're first introduced to the scripture, the scriptural part of worship. whether that's written in the call to worship, like Bentley said, or the confession or other parts. And then we listen for the word. This is the part where we hear scripture and the sermon specifically. And the sermon tends to have a pretty heavy emphasis in Presbyterian worship. It is the word proclaimed. It is a way to hear scripture and grow in that sense. And so we listen for the Spirit to speak to us through the scripture and through the sermon. And then the rest of the service is in response to that listening that we just did. So we offer our gratitude by the offertory and the music and the praise given in that part. And then we go out to serve. We have heard the sermon, we've heard the scripture, and now we're going to go out in the world because our faith doesn't stop with us in the pew. And so we're going to go out and serve the world and live as people of God.
Yeah. And the hope is, I mean, like, so we put a pretty high value on sermons in the Reformed tradition. I'm going to get to music in a minute. Just for those of you thinking that we're ignoring music, I promise to get there, because I know sermon and music are probably the things that come up the most for what people value and kind of look for whenever they're going to a worship service. But the sermon itself, the hope is that in teaching and in understanding better what scripture is saying about who God is and who we are, that we are then shaped and formed to go love our neighbors and to go love God, not just for an hour on Sunday mornings, but that our whole lives can become, in a way, worship. And so let me go to music, because I think that's important. One of the things that I think is unique about our church is that whenever we kind of plug in what scripture we're going to do, maybe a little bit of like a working title for a sermon or themes around it, it is then kind of up to those who lead our music program to plug in hymns or to plug in contemporary worship songs or to do the anthem. And those pieces come together in a way that is often shocking and surprising in how perfectly they fit. You would usually think, like, at a typical worship service that it flows well enough that you'd expect that we were in a room together planning that, and often we are not. And so I think that that's one of the really cool things, is that you can hear in the hymns how the words of scripture are echoed by artists throughout centuries, by modern artists, especially whenever you're at the bridge in our contemporary service, and that those echoes and themes our musicians are able to pick up on and really like weave into things in a way that someone like me, who does not know the music as well and just doesn't have an ear for that, wouldn't be able to do. And so we are Presbyterian, and we are very like orderly in how we come up with things and how we try to keep our services to, you know, the 50 minutes that they are. But there's a lot of room in how the Spirit tends to work that surprises us, even whenever we're behind the scenes planning it. So I wanted to give you a little bit of, I don't know, maybe a challenge if you're going to be in worship this week or in a future Sunday, whether you go to Westminster or somewhere else, to listen for the ways that scripture is coming up in places other than the sermon. Please listen to the sermon still. But if you want real bonus points, look ahead before you come on Sunday and see what scripture is being preached on and read it, and then see if you can catch things. Or if you don't do that, like, maybe whenever you're repeating the words to the call to worship, you can kind of hold on to some of those words or phrases and see if those themes or the same types of words come up later as a sermon's preached. Or you might notice, and this is really fun some weeks, that we can sometimes plan things, and then when the preacher is writing on a Thursday or a Friday, they go in a different direction. They feel God leading them a different way. So you can see where things can be disjointed too, and kind of the way that that still weaves together and gives a full picture of one scripture isn't just one thing and one meaning. So try that out. Let us know how it goes. And again, I've said this on like every episode, if you have questions, if you have things that you would like us to explore on this podcast, please send them in. And we're going to be coming up with a I guess, kind of second season of this to do over the summer. So we'd love to get more input. Thanks for listening.